Well, let us together turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 3. And while you're turning there, I just want to say greetings to you from Trinity Presbyterian Church in Chatham. And it's a blessing that we are sister congregations, so we send greetings to you and to this congregation. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, my text will be from verses 1 through 15. Before we read, let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the word. Thank you that your word has a purpose to it and that your eternal purpose through the word of God is to bring us to Jesus Christ and to help us to recognize the blessed life that we have in him, enabled and strengthened by the Holy Spirit. And we thank you that Ecclesiastes chapter 3 is one of those great gifts that you have given to us. And we pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would illumine our hearts and give us understanding and then apply this word to our lives. We thank you, God, for the opportunity to hear preaching. And we ask that you would bless the preaching to our hearts today. Take the sermon and make it your own. And then use it in our lives, in the life of this congregation, and in the life of the world that you have given to us. We ask these humbly, we ask these things with gratitude and humility in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, beginning in verse number 1. This is God's holy word. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to gain and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. What profit has the worker from that in which he labors? I have seen that the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from the beginning to the end. I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it that men should fear before him. That which is has already been, and what is to be has already been. And God requires an account of what is past. Amen. That is God's holy word. We praise his name for it. Now, many of us here this afternoon, we have handheld devices which have alerts or reminders on them telling us that it is time for this or time for that. We have clocks on our walls, clocks on our churches, and clocks on our wrists. Time, you see, is part of our world. And God wills it so. Time is his creation. And he is sovereign over time, just as he is sovereign over everything else in this world. Our text in particular alerts us to the fact of time and God's sovereignty over that time. For a minute, think back to the good and hard times that you experienced in 2013, or perhaps that you've experienced already in 2014, or the good or hard times that you experienced just last week or just last month. You were powerless to stop time, change the events. You were powerless to stop the pain. And then there were those surprise times of joy, those amazing events in your life when you got a note from someone telling you that they loved you, or you got a telephone call from a person that they wanted to take you out, as it were, and get to know you better, or you received a gift, boys and girls, from your parents, those surprise times of joy. You were not sovereign over those times at all. God was. It was as if all the events in your life were predestined, preset according to a plan. And the fact is that they were. The truth is, God is sovereign over our lives. By faith, we confess this in the church. And we confess this as true. And the writer of Ecclesiastes also confessed this to be true throughout this book. He confesses over and over and over again that God is sovereign. That we cannot change the course of this world. We cannot change the mind of God. That we cannot change this or that. That God is the one who has our times in His hand. And in our text in particular this afternoon, there are three confessions of faith which the writer made in his life, which we must make again this afternoon, today, in our Christian lives. We must make these confessions by faith, for we live by faith. We do not live by sight, brothers and sisters in the Lord. And so we must make these confessions by faith, whether we're young children, whether we're teenagers, or whether we're adults. We must confess by faith that our times are in God's hands. We must confess by faith that our God has put eternity into our hearts. And we must confess by faith that our God fits everything in perfectly, that we can trust Him. Well, let's begin with that first confession of faith. Our times are in God's hands. We read of that from verses 1 through 8, where we read that there's a time for this and a time for that, a time for this and a time for that. Notice how it begins in verse number 1. Verse number 1 is a confession of faith. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. That is a confession of faith. It's a confession of faith that God determines all of man's times and seasons. We plan and organize, and yes, planning and organizing and being a good steward of our life and a good steward of our things and a good steward of our time, they have their place, as the wisdom of Christ tells us in the book of Proverbs. But the Lord has set the times of our lives in His holy will, and faith confesses this. Notice the poem. These events refer in poetry to a normal life. That's what's happening in verses 2 down to verse number 8. The events of normal life explained to us in poetry. First of all, God's sovereign plan, His timing is from birth. Even if you had to be induced in order to come out of your mother's womb, that was in God's time and in God's plan. And God is sovereign, His timing is perfect even in death. Though there is life support systems in our modern medical age, God is even sovereign over the health sciences. From the beginning of our life to the end of our life, it is in God's hands. Our days are numbered. And we do not number them. God numbers them. God's sovereign plan, that is His timing, even includes those events that appear to be in man's control. There's a time to plant, a time to pluck up what is planted. There's a time for war and there's a time for peace. There's a time for building and there's a time for tearing down. But you see, farming, war, building, or choosing when to speak and when not to speak, though those things seem to be in our control, and in a certain way they are, yet overriding all of that is God's sovereign will. We talked about that in the consistory room. We haven't planted yet. It's too wet. It's not by chance that it's too wet. It's God's time. God's sovereign plan, His timing reaches down even to our emotions, brothers and sisters. When we laugh, how hard we laugh, who we love and who we hate, and when we hate and when we hug, or when we have to stop hugging one another, it is all under God's plan. But wait a minute. Don't we have a will? Yes, 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 we do have a will. We are not robots. We are not puppets on some string. But God is still in control. Mystery, mystery, it is. But you know it's true. You in your heart of hearts, because the Spirit teaches you through the Word of God and speaks to your heart, you know it's true. You know you have a will, but you know also that God is sovereign over all of it. But then is God the maker of evil? You know the answer to that as well. No, no, no. And yet the heart of the king is in God's hands. He is sovereign, though he is not the author of evil. What does the Bible say in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 4? The Lord has made all for himself. Yes, even the wicked for the day of doom. When we think of Romans chapter number 11. And verse number 36, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The truth is, my dear friends, that our times are in God's hands. Our times are in God's hands. And this is our glorious hope. The fact that our times are in God's hands is our great gladness. Let me explain. God, your God and my God, our God Jehovah, can be trusted with the seasons and the times of His world and our life in His world. Because He uses time perfectly. He uses time wonderfully. And you know what? Our Lord Jesus Christ is testimony to that fact, that our God never makes a mistake in time whatsoever, that He uses time perfectly so we can trust Him. And so I want us to understand this together as a congregation this afternoon. And I want you to go on a journey with me in time, if you would. We're going to go on a journey in time, and we're going to begin in the future first. You see, in the glorious new heaven and the new earth, those of you who have lost loved ones will be reunited with your loved ones. Those of us who will come into that new heavens and the new earth, we will come into a world where we are renewed, where we are recreated, where we have our resurrection bodies, where we are saved by grace. And we will be there and we will rule and reign with God and the Lamb for all eternity. It says in Revelations 22, verse 1, and He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the middle of its street and on either side of the river was a tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. They shall see His face, and His name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no more night there. They have no need of a lamp or light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever with Him. This is what's going to come into our lives. This is the reality of our future, dear brothers and sisters. Eternal life, ruling and reigning with God in the new heavens and the new earth in bliss and in joy forever. But now, why will this be true? Why is this true of our future? Well, oh, there was a time, a season. At Pentecost, Christ poured out His Spirit on the church because on the third day, Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. And He rose again from the dead because He was judged as a sinner in our place. And He died on the cross on the ninth hour. And He could die as the God-man. He could die as the God-man because when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, to redeem us from sin, that we would be adopted by God, as we read in Galatians chapter number 4. And so at the right time, Christ died for you and me, the ungodly. Jesus not only died, but He lived to fulfill all God's plan. He said, remember when He was here on the earth, the time is fulfilled. The time is fulfilled. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come. Repent and believe the gospel. For Him, for God, for Christ, for God, there was a time too. And the amazing grace of God that He condescended to Him down to our level, down to this earth, and brought Himself into time. For God, then, there was a time to be born. There was a time to die. There was a time to plant the seed of the gospel of the kingdom of God. There was a time for God to embrace His disciples. And there was a time for God to refrain from embracing when He was left all alone by the 12. There was a time for God to speak and preach. But then there was that time for God to no longer talk on the cross and be silent. There before Pilate, said not a word. It was time for Him not to speak. There was a time for God for Him to overthrow the tables in the new temple. There was a time for God to comfort His disciples, to say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me. And listen, dear friends, He came to this earth because time and time again, before Jesus was born of the Virgin, the prophets, the kings, the priests, the sacrifices, the miracles, the journeys, the promises in the Old Testament and to Old Testament Israel were put in place to proclaim His coming. To proclaim Jesus Christ. The whole time period of the Old Testament is all about Christ, our Savior. The time of Isaiah. The time of Ruth. Boys and girls, you remember the time of the story of David and Goliath. The happy time of David's rule. The sad time of the judges. The time of Isaac and Jacob. And do you remember, boys and girls, the time when Abraham was called to offer up Isaac on the mountain? And all the other times were ordained by God and used by Him to fulfill His saving, redeeming purposes in our world and in your life, right down to this very moment this afternoon. And then there was the time of Eden, when God allowed sin to come into the world. And the day when God said that the seed of the woman would crush, destroy the devil. And then there was the time of creation, when God made everything very, very good, even though He knew and allowed and would allow sin to come in and to destroy His good creation. All this took place in time. Because you see, in eternity past, God planned it all. Even before God created the world, God ordained a time, a season, a matter under heaven, the glorious time of His beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Before creation, He was foreknown and foreordained by the Father to be the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. What does this Bible say in Revelation? That He was the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world, before the foundation of all time. Before time, a body was prepared for Him by the Father. And He promised before time even began that sinners chosen in Him would be given eternal life through Him, as it says in Ephesians 1. Oh, brothers and sisters, time is God's servant. God created time for the sake of His Son, Jesus Christ, for your sake, so that you would be saved and have all your sins forgiven in time, so that you could spend all eternity with Him and everlasting bliss and joy. And so look at our time now. It is the time for you and me to believe in Him and live. Look at how God has used the history of the world. It's all for Christ, and in Christ, it's all for you. The end for which God created the world was the glory of His Son, so that you would be redeemed by His Son. It is now time. Behold, the day of salvation is here. The time for us to believe and receive afresh and anew on this Lord's Day, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we will follow Him. We will not follow the pagan world. We will follow the Lord. He is the captain of our salvation. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the one that I want to give my whole life to, and I want to live my humanity in. I don't want to live in the groveling life of sin and twistedness of that life. I want to live in God's way. And so it's time. And this great gift of God, of your heart still beating in your breast, of your eyes still seeing, your ears still hearing, your lungs still breathing, now is the time, by the power of the Holy Spirit as He works in your midst, to believe afresh and anew. To recommit your life to Christ again. To say again, my dear friends, I present myself as a living body, holy and acceptable unto you, which is my reasonable service, that I might not be conformed to this world, but that I might be transformed by the renewing of my mind, that I may prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. And you know, you can trust Him. You can trust God for your lot in life. You can trust God this afternoon for Christ. I mean, don't you want to trust in Him rather than trust in your work or your daytimer? You know, one of the great blessings of God's amazing grace in the human race is that He does not let us forget that He has a plan. There's a time and a season for everything. As it says in Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 1, our lives are in His hands. We cannot forget that, and the Lord does not allow us to forget that. But we've seen how God uses time perfectly in the testimony of Jesus Christ our Lord. And then notice also a second confession of faith. Not only do we confess that our times are in God's hands and that God uses time wonderfully and that we can trust Him, but also He has put eternity into our hearts. It says in verse 11, He has made everything beautiful in its time. And of course, that refers to Christ. Also, He has put eternity into our hearts. That's another confession of faith. Now, maybe you've had this experience. You go on a summer vacation and you're planning to go to camp at Quebec City. You've booked a campsite and planned the exact arrival. But then on your way through, you go through the 401 and you hit a massive traffic jam in Toronto. You're at a dead stop. You stretch out your neck to see what's ahead. You get out to look. You stand on the car hood. But all that you see is a long row of cars. And you know what happens? You get frustrated. Now, if you could forget your destination, wouldn't it be easier to handle the traffic jam? If you could forget all about your schedule, all about your plans, all about your destination, you would have less anxiety. You could wait better. And you know, the truth is, if you or I could forget about eternity with God, we would have less anxiety too. If there's no judgment day, oh, if there's no God, maybe, and I don't know if He's going to have a reckoning for all humanity. I don't know if it's true when the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. If we did not know of that, we would have less anxiety in this world. But you see, God does not let us forget, because He has put eternity into our hearts, and He has put it there in such a way that we can't figure out His plan. But living for Him and living in light of His plan always, though, seems so right to us in our hearts and in our minds. In our lives, there is a yearning, you see, a restlessness. And we never come to that rest unless we come home to God. Until we come to the Alpha and the Omega, our God and Lord. Yes, no man seeks after God in his natural sinful state. But that is not because we don't know that there is an eternal God who has a plan. It's because we're against Him and His plan. That's why no one seeks after God. They hate God. And they hate His plan of redemption. They would rather save themselves than bow the knee to Jesus Christ. But you see, God uses this restlessness to bring people to Jesus Christ. He's put eternity in our hearts. We cannot forget that one day we're going to meet God. And we know that it's right and it's true. We're going to meet God. We're going to meet God. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. We're going to meet God. We don't know when we're going to die. We don't know His plans, His full plans. But we know that at the end, we're going to meet God. And this restlessness in our lives is used by God to bring us to the Savior. You see, we have eternity in our hearts because God Almighty does. God has eternity in His heart for us. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God wants all of us who are His people to live forever with Him. He has eternity in His plan for us, and so He has put eternity into our hearts too. Are you anxious? Are you frustrated in the traffic jam between time and eternity? You know you can't forget your meeting with God. And so today is the day of salvation. God has given you this time. So today repent and believe. If you have sin in your life, repent of it. Come back to the Lord. You might die tomorrow. You know eternity is marching, marching, marching. And you know you cannot get away from God. Oh, let this be an encouragement to you. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. If you have sin in your life today, repent. God will forgive you all. You come to Him, He will in no wise cast you out. Live by faith in the Lord. Turn away from sin. And come to Him remembering eternity. Give in to this confession. Give in to it. God's put eternity into your heart. It is a good confession. So here are two confessions that we've looked at so far. We know that our times are in God's hands and He uses time wonderfully. We know also that He has put eternity into our hearts. But then last of all, here is this confession. Our God fits everything in. We can trust Him. Notice verse 11. It says, He has made everything beautiful in His time. He has made everything beautiful in His time. Did He not fit the exact history of Jesus Christ in the exact moments of time? Did Christ not come in the fullness of time, born of a virgin? Was there anything missing in God's life here upon earth? No. So God will fit everything perfect in our lives as well. We can trust Him. He's made everything beautiful in its time. And the word beautiful here in the Word of God in the original Hebrew means He fits together everything perfectly. And so He will make everything fit together perfectly in our lives too. We think of the times that you've had your children. You think, you know what? We're so busy and here comes another child. Do we have time to raise another child? It was perfect. You might be thinking, wait, I'm waiting so long to get married. Man, I'm already 25 and I'm still not married. I'm 30 and I'm still not married. Patience, He fits everything perfect in His time. You lost your husband. You lost your wife. You're lonely. I know you're lonely. But it was perfect. God fit everything in. And we can trust Him. See, this is a confession of faith too. The thoughts about time and our inability of controlling it led Solomon to ask if there is any gain or any use to the work of our lives. That's why he asks this in verse 9. What profit has the worker from that which he labors? I have seen the God-given task which the sons have been given, which the sons of men are to be occupied with. You see, all of this talk about time brought him to the place, well, is my work even worth it? Is everything vain if I can't control it? Is everything vain? And the answer is no. There is no, it is not vain. Because you see, the Lord is over time. That's why it's not vain. The Lord is in control of this world. The Lord is the one who's Lord over time. And He's the great one at work in our lives. Notice verse 14. I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it, that men should fear before Him. No matter how senseless or backwards our lives seem to be, we are promised that God has made everything fitting in His time. In our lives, we can make stupid decisions. In our work, stupid decisions in our family, and we often sin in those areas. I can remember one time I was wanting to install a dishwasher, and I goofed. Because I missed one of the steps. I forgot a step and then I had to undo it and do the whole thing all over again. And we're like that. We don't know the whole plan. We don't know all the purposes of God. So often we make mistakes. Often we sin. We don't see the whole plan in our lives. Well, God sees the whole plan. And all the times that He has ordained in your life are fitting. You just can't see it. Because, you see, you're not God. Nor are you the one with the plan. However, you can see in the life of Christ that God has planned everything perfectly. You can trust Him. And this brings us to live by faith, doesn't it? In this way. If we know that God fits everything in perfectly, and that because God is sovereign, that our lives are not vain, and we know that He knows the plan, even we don't know the plan. We know that He is sovereign, so we can live by faith in this way. We can live by faith in the present, as He says in verse 12 and 13. I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. First of all, live by faith fully in the present. Because you know that God is sovereign, that He fits everything perfectly into your life. Because you can see that testimony in the Lord Jesus Christ. That you know that God is all wise and all powerful. That He has got everything under control. Your life is in His hands. Live fully in the present. R.C. Sproul, he had a series that says, that he entitled, Right Now Counts Forever. Well, right now, how do you receive your food? How do you receive your drink? How do you receive your work? You should receive them as gifts of God for today. These are the things that He has abundantly bestowed upon me. My food, my drink, my children, my relationship, my church. I receive this all with gladness and joy. I don't have tomorrow. Yesterday is gone. But God is sovereign. He fits everything in perfectly into my life. I can rejoice. This is God's calling in my life. To rejoice and enjoy in all the good things that He has given unto me. Because we can trust Him. And then last of all, we can live by faith in the blessed, blessed Father, our God. Trusting Him that He does everything well. You see, His plan is on a set course. Look at your life and you will see that you have no leverage over God. The psalmist is right. My times are in your hands. And don't we want them there? Where else do we want them? Do you want your life in your own power? What will come of that? Do you want your life in the power of someone else? What will come of that? You want your life in God's hands. Notice verse 14. I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it that men should fear before Him. Everything that has already occurred, God has done it. And we get the privilege of living out God's predestined life for us. But remember, it's a time that He uses well. We all have purpose. We all have direction. We all have a purpose from God for His glory. None of us are a mistake. We are where we are. We belong to whom we belong to. Because in the end, God uses that all for His glory and the good of mankind. And of course, this challenges us to trust God with our future, doesn't it? If we know that that which has already been and what is to be has already been, and God requires an account of what is past, as it says in verse 15, this challenges us to trust God for our future. From a human point of view, sometimes we are worried. When am I going to lose my children? We're worried, am I going to get this job done in time? When is my husband going to pass away? When is my wife going to pass away? Will I lose my job? Will I lose my mom? Will I lose my dad? We do worry. We're anxious over those things. But you see, our Heavenly Father doesn't worry. Our Heavenly Father is loving and kind, but He does not worry. Why? Because our times are in His hands. He does everything perfectly. God is sovereign and sufficient for every future day that we have. So, brothers and sisters, let the future be the future. Let tomorrow be tomorrow. God will take care of you. Enjoy your life. Go home this afternoon and have a glass of wine with your wife. Have a glass of wine with your husband. Spend time with your children skipping rope, or spend time with your children for a walk. Spend time with one another. Tomorrow they might be gone. But God knows, and He fits it all in perfectly. So enjoy today. That's what He says over and over again in the book of Ecclesiastes. 12 times. Enjoy your life before God now. Enjoy what God has given to you now. Enjoy the fruit of your labor now. Enjoy, enjoy, enjoy life. God gave it to you. He'll take it from you when it's His will. But now it is not His will for you to be taken from this earth, so enjoy it. Trust in God for tomorrow and live today by faith in Him. Trusting in Jesus as your Savior, that if you were to die, you'd go to heaven to be with Him. But since you haven't died, since it's not been God's will yet, God fits everything perfectly together, fitting it well into our lives. I will enjoy my day today by faith in holiness. In Jesus' name. Oh, and of course, if we can trust God for tomorrow, we can trust God for our past. And we can trust God for our present. We can know and recognize truly, all my sins are gone. I don't have to feel guilty anymore. They're gone. I don't have to keep bringing up the past. God knew that I went through that. God knew that that was good for my life for some reason. So I won't bring it up. I'll just keep living for the Lord. I'll leave the past with Him and I'll accept the forgiveness of God for all my sins and know that I'm His righteous child. And we can trust God for the present too. As I've already said, just enjoy your life. Just be happy. I know that so often we struggle with disappointments, and I wish I had, you know, I dreamt when I was at this time in my life I'd have a house and it would be all paid for, and now I'm in debt. And I understand, but God fits it all in perfectly. I can't figure it out for you, but God says enjoy today. You see, God is actually wisely in control of your life. You believe that? that God is actually wisely in control of your life. You know it's true. How do you know it's true? Look at Jesus Christ. Look at Jesus Christ. He used time wisely. We don't know God's will for our times in detail, but we do know His work for us in the Lord Jesus. That on the ninth hour, He gave up the ghost. I deserve to be on that cross, but He was there. And on the third day, He rose again. And 40 days later, He ascended up into heaven. And now He's at the right hand of the Father. And one day He's coming again. You know He fits everything well, because you know what He did for you in Jesus Christ. You see, the Spirit of God constantly brings you to Him as your leader, so that you will see more and more that your times are in His hands, that your time is His work, that you're in this world for Him. And so we can redeem the time then, can we not? Aren't we called to redeem the time? We're called to redeem the time in Jesus' name, because He does bring good things out of all of our lives. Good things out of all our mistakes. Good things out of all of our sins. He brings good things out of all of our work. You see, He's sovereign. They meant it for evil, those brothers. But God meant it for good. And so look at how He brought the good thing, Jesus, out of human history. And believe truly in your heart that our times are in God's hands, that we want them there, that eternity is in our hearts, and that He fits everything well. And we can trust Him, because Jesus Christ is our captain, who brings good things out of our lives, no matter how seemingly messed up they seem to be to us. He knows, and we can trust Him. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, it's sometimes so hard for us to just let go and to trust in You, because the times of our lives seem to be so rough and seem to be so confusing. But Lord in heaven, You who are a gentle Father, do gently teach us day by day, week by week, year by year, to trust in You. And we pray that this afternoon's service would help us, even as it were, one step forward to trusting in You more, to realize that our times are in Your hands, and to bring us to the place where we leave our times in Your hands, where we don't try to have leverage with You or try to take control, but we use our time according to Your will and trust in You for our everyday, and trust in You for our children, and trust in You for our families, and live for You, knowing that Your time is perfect, knowing that You use time well. God, bring us to this hope, we pray. Lord, exalt Christ in our hearts. Even give us, by the power of Your Holy Spirit, a time again to renew our faith in Him this afternoon and this day, so we might humble ourselves before You and redeem the time in Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.